Welcome to installment 139 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments from the agricultural laws of the Rambam. Positive commandment 131, the commandment of Vidui Meiser, to make a verbal declaration that you have given all the necessary offerings and separated the necessary portions from the crops. And positive commandment number 125, the commandment of bringing the first fruits, the Bikurim. As we have learned, there are many different portions which must be separated by the farmer from his produce before he can use it for himself. For example, we have mentioned truma, which must be given to the Kohen, and Meiser to the Levi. Just as it is an obligation to separate all these portions, it is also a positive commandment of the Torah to verbally declare at the conclusion of a three-year cycle that all of the necessary portions have been given. And if it is for some reason impossible to give them, one must assure that all of the remaining portions have been destroyed and not used by the farmer himself. This verbal declaration is called Vidui Meiser. The declaration regarding the Meiser, the removal of tithes. And it is positive commandment 131. This commandment derives from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verse 13. Where the actual text of the declaration is given. The person must say, I have removed all the sacred portions from my house. I have given the appropriate ones to the Levite, to the convert, the orphan, the widow. And he further states that he has done it all in a proper manner, that even the Meiser Sheni has been done in accordance with all the details, not being eaten it while in mourning, and it has not been separated in an impure state, and it has not been used for any non-food purposes. As the Rambam states in his legal code, all of the primary laws of the separated portions are alluded to in these verses. Before these verses, the actual commandment itself and the time in which it must be fulfilled are indicated. The verse states that in the third year, which is the special year of the Meiser, then this declaration must be said. And our sages have explained that this refers to the fourth year and the seventh year, that after the tithe for the poor people, Meiser Oni, has been given in the third and sixth year of the seven-year cycle, this declaration must be made and all the leftover tithes must be removed from the house. The actual time for this declaration was given as the last day of the holiday of Passover, during the afternoon service at Mincha, as the Rambam explains in his legal code. The actual declaration is preferably said in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azorah, the courtyard, since the verse states that it must be said Lifnei Hashem, before God, which refers, as the Rambam says, to the Beis HaMikdash. The commentaries explain that one of the purposes or one of the effects of this verbal declaration is to ensure that the action will also be an appropriate one. That when the person has to verbally state that he has done everything in all of the details, he will ensure and bring an extra care to his actual observance of the commandments. And therefore, he must verbalize it not only for the verbalization itself, but also to ensure that the action is a proper one. The end of this section in the Chumash declares that the person asks for a blessing. After declaring to God that I have fulfilled all of these commandments, he states, look down from your holy habitation in the heavens and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, the land flowing with milk and honey that you swore to our fathers. And therefore we request that after having fulfilled God's commandments, that he reward us with his blessings. The second commandment of today's shir is positive commandment 125, which is the law of Bikurim, the first fruits, which derives, as the Rambam says, from the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 19. Reishis Bikurei Admoscha, the first fruits of your land, Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, you must bring to the house of Hashem your God. There are two different aspects of the law of the first fruits. The first is that it must be separated. It must be distinguished for the rest of the crops. As the Rambam explains in his legal code, that upon seeing these crops first start to ripen, the farmer is required to go there with a marker to wrap a string around the first fruits, which have begun to ripen, and to distinguish them, and make a statement that these are the first fruits, these are the Bikurim. After they have fully ripened, he takes these first fruits, the best, most beautiful fruits, and must bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple in Jerusalem. This that Rambam says shows us that the law obviously applies only at the times that the temple is in existence. It also applies, that Rambam says, only in the land of Israel and the immediately surrounding lands, such as Syria and the east side of the Jordan River. The first fruits also are brought only from the seven types of produce which are particularly linked to the land of Israel. The procession or parade of the first fruits was an extremely colorful and interesting ceremony. Each individual would not bring the first fruits by himself. Rather, they would go in groups. That all of the Jewish people in general were divided into 24 mamodes, 24 watches, so to speak. And each person that belonged to a watch would go to the city of the leader of that maimud. Therefore, 1/24 of the entire Jewish people would march together from that particular city to the city of Jerusalem. They would be accompanied by an ox, that each person was required to bring a peace offering of an ox. They would plate the horns of this ox with gold and crown it with an olive crown. And in front of the parade would be people playing the flute, and they would be accompanied by music, and in a spirit of simcha, of great joy, they would march to the city of Jerusalem. Upon reaching the gates of the city of Jerusalem, they would stop to arrange their first fruits in a most attractive and beautiful way. The Rambam tells us in his legal code that the seven fruits are arranged in a certain way. First of all, they must be brought in a basket. In the bottom of the basket is placed the barley. On top of that, the wheat. On top of that, the olives. Then dates. Then pomegranates. Then figs. And crowning the entire arrangement are a bunch of grapes. And each of these particular species are kept separate from one another. That there is a leaf or some other divider, separation, dividing between one species and the other. In addition, the people brought pigeons and doves, some of them attached actually to the sides of the basket to beautify the offering. Others were held in the hands of the people, and they would give it directly to the Kohen, to the priest, upon their arrival at the Beis HaMikdash. This procession from the gates of Jerusalem to the Temple Mount was also done together with flute playing, music, and the recital of different verses from the Book of Psalms. Upon reaching the court of the Beis HaMikdash, every individual had to carry his own first fruits, his own basket, to be presented before the Kohen. Even the king himself had to personally do this. A waving process, tenufa, was done together with the Kohen, and afterwards the fruit was placed in front of the altar, and the individual would recite what's called Mikre Bikurim, a certain set of verses as indicated in the book of Deuteronomy, as we will discuss in tomorrow's portion. Afterwards, the Bikurim, the first fruits, would be taken by the Kohen to eat. The law of the first fruits is actually a very interesting and important test of our commitment to the Torah and our ability to conquer our own personal desires and inclinations. That a person who has plowed his field and seeded the field and worked and nurtured the field and finally has fruits start to blossom, such a person is pulled by the desire to take these fruits for himself, in particular the most choice fruits, the most beautiful fruits, and the first fruits that he sees, a person has a strong desire to keep them for himself. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us no, that this must be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, it must be brought to the temple and sanctified. And not only some of his fruits must be sanctified, but the reishis, Bikurei Admoscha, but the first fruits of your land must be brought to the temple. First, not only in time, that they were the first ones to ripen, but the first in quality, the best must be given. And not only that, the person does not only do it begrudgingly, but he does it with a tremendous spirit of simcha, a great joy in being allowed to bring this to the temple itself. In fact, the person is led to meditate on the fact that these crops that he has brought, these first fruits, are not his. They weren't really his to begin with. A person is not giving charity, so to speak, to the Kohen. Rather, God, who has given him the land, and in a deeper sense, as explained in Chassidus, God recreates the world every second, and therefore, in effect, gives him the field, and creates the fruit anew every single moment that the universe is in existence. Therefore, God himself owns these fruits, and God himself dictates that these fruits must be given to the Kohen. And this is what the Rambam himself indicates in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that these fruits are the belongings of the Kohen. They belong to him. And therefore, a person who meditates upon this will bring himself not only to begrudgingly give the gifts to the Kohen and make the long journey to Jerusalem, but he will do it in a tremendous state of joy and simcha at being able to give some of God's gifts, to return the gifts of God to the Kohen as he has been commanded. So great is the law of the first fruits that our sages say that Shebishvila Nivra Ha'ilam, that the world was created for the purpose of fulfilling this mitzvah of Bikurim. The Rambam concludes in Sefer HaMitzvahs that we have the description of all of these laws in a special tractate dedicated to the first fruits, Masechta Bikurim.